Hey there, it's David. This episode of Island Hopping will be a little different. We've been talking about committing your life to the care and control of Jesus, and some of you are still asking, why? I get it. This is big and something not to be entered into lightly. So I wanted to step aside and let some other people speak to life through the lens of a faith in Jesus. To speak to the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the good times and the bad times of a life lived as a follower of Jesus. Yes, faith in Jesus is no guarantee that life will be perfect. Faith in Jesus is a guarantee that meaning, purpose, peace, and comfort can be and will be yours when life isn't perfect. Well, enough of that. Let's go island hopping. What you're about to hear are three testimonies that were shared at Beneva Christian Church on one night. The theme for the night was a service of shadows during Holy Week, which is the week leading up to and including Easter. It's a week of questions. It's a week of struggles. It's a week of salvation, all wrapped up in one. My goal for the service is for people to hear stories of real faith. Faith that struggles, faith that suffers, faith that overcomes. Between the hearing of each story, the people also hear the history of Jesus' final week. Stories of betrayal at the hands of those closest to Jesus. Stories of the desertion of everyone in Jesus' life. And stories of the pain and suffering that Jesus endured. The intended takeaway is for people to realize that faith in Jesus isn't simply something that you do. It's who you are, regardless of what's happening in your life. All three of these testimonies are being shared with permission, and I thank each of them for their willingness and their vulnerability. For it takes guts to stand up in front of others and share a piece of yourself. I find it such a blessing to hear how people deal with life as a follower of Jesus. My hope is that in the hearing of these stories, they will also touch something deep in you. First, I want to introduce you to Michael. He's a young man that is wise in faith beyond his years. When he's not coaching youth hockey or selling real estate, he's either leading or attending a Bible study or a roundtable discussion group. Michael had a situation in his life that caused him to feel that God wasn't helping. He literally reached a point where he asked God to heal him or kill him. But, well, I'll let him tell the story. Here's Michael with his testimony, even if from the Beneva stage.
So August 27th of 2017, I think it was like a junior in college, I added a song to a Spotify playlist. Songs Even If by Mercy Me. For those who don't know Mercy Me, they're the ones that sing I Can Only Imagine. Don't know what prompted me to add this song to it. I would learn later in life that it would become a crutch for me to listen to. And I say this just to give reference to ages and years. So now fast forward from 2017 to December 19th of 2021. It was a morning and I did my first half marathon race. I did three that year before, just kind of on my own. I wanted to do a race and I was on the front of the line, not the left. And right before they say go, I got this weird thought that I knew wasn't in from me. It sounded like my voice, but it said, enjoy this while you can, which is really concerning when you're doing a race, because I had leg issues and you know, I think I'm going to break a leg or something. And quite frankly, I wish that was what happened, because that would have been a heck of a lot easier. So 2 weeks later, it was a Thursday, it was January 6th of 2022. I would start what now is called long COVID. Certainly a lot of different varieties out there. Mine was, I started out with, I couldn't breathe. We were in Pittsburgh. Had extremely hard time breathing. Then transitioned to muscle weakness, muscle fatigue. I don't mean this rudely, but I'm sure there's certainly older people in this room that if we did a race then, you would have kicked my butt. I went from winning races to if I was walking heel to toe, that would have been too fast for me. And 50 other symptoms, and that's a really kind of short way to summarize 800 plus days and counting of dealing with this. And through this process, it started out with me trying to deal with it, different advice of try things to do, and I couldn't. Went to the doctors, because it's so new, they have no idea what to do. And all the tests came back, I was actually perfectly healthy, which we knew wasn't the case. And I wish I could say I went to God first, but I didn't. I don't know if that's just because I thought I could do it on my own. But at some point I kept praying and God just wasn't helping. It went on for days, months, weeks. It got to the point where I just kind of realized there's no cavalry coming. There's quite frankly no hope. You know, you do all these things in life to help, and then felt like the one time I was asking for help, there was nothing there. I got to the point, I know my mom's not gonna like me saying this, I was literally praying for God. I said, heal me or kill me, because at the lowest I literally could get out of bed for months. And through this process, because there was times I was sleeping a bunch, I tried to fall asleep at night and couldn't really fall asleep. So then it led me to, well, I tried to listen to music and tried to go to bed, and brought me back to this Even If song. And Even If is based off of Daniel 3:18, which is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to worship King Nebuchadnezzar. We're just going to die, essentially. But they said, God can save us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not bound to you because he's worth it. And throughout this moment, just led me to try to think more like that. In those hard times of when I was weak, despair, I might have abandoned God. Not that I really did, because I wasn't mad at him, but I wasn't happy with how things were going. But he was still there for me. He didn't forget me. He was still there for help eventually. And I've certainly gotten better, but I've also realized that, you know, I might not get the Hollywood ending. You know, things could still be bad the rest of my life, because it still hasn't gotten better fully. And so now I'm at the point where how the song ends is actually with a hymn that I didn't know was a hymn till two Sundays ago, where it says, it is well with my soul. And that's just where I am now. I know that, yeah, I'm 27. Things could be great. Things could suck. But eventually one day it'll be eternity and won't have to deal with it anymore.
Our next testimony is from Sylvia. She's a self-proclaimed hippie. She loves to hug and she loves to pray. In fact, we built a prayer corner in our worship center just for her. She is a part of a special group, Forget Me Not Ministries, which serves nursing homes and assisted living facilities in our community. Sylvia has a special and intimate relationship with death, as you will hear. So here's Sylvia and her testimony, Ragamuffins Loved by the Lord, from the Beneva Stage.
Hello, my name is Sylvia. I've been coming to Beneva Christian Church since about last August. Phil, who is my partner in Forget Me Not Ministries, is the one who discovered this beautiful place of worship and fellowship. During the time my husband was on hospice care, and I was home being his primary caregiver. I thank Pastor David for this opportunity to give part of my story during this most holy time of year. A bit of background to my story is that my husband John and I were part of the Jesus Revolution during the early 70s. This is when we both had our individual experiences of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. God brought us together with other believers and a spirit-filled pastor who helped us to become grounded in the Word. I'm so thankful to our Lord that our planted seeds in Him did not go by the wayside, but grew through the trials and blessings that we have gone through. Our marriage grew to be blessed with a beautiful daughter and two handsome sons. I thank God that John and I were both believers. We were definitely not perfect. We were both ragamuffins loved by the Lord. We had him as our primary focus of our lives. This provided a family life where God was the center, and it provided a home base for the children to be brought up with Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I say this scripture because my story has held on to it in special ways. God has imprinted in me the very special need to pray, to pray, to pray. And he will answer prayers according to his will and in his way, for my good and the good of whom I am praying for. My three children are part of this life lesson, part of the story. First, the power of prayer saved my daughter, who was in a very abusive marriage. Oh, how I pray that the abuse she endured would not damage her emotionally and spiritually forever. She has become to know and love the Lord and now is in a very stable marriage with a loving husband. Second, the power of prayer saved my oldest son from the stronghold of opiate addiction. It was a long road. It brought me to my knees. It brought me to repeating and repeating Proverbs 22:6. It brought me to asking a tribe of brothers and sisters in Christ to join me in prayer to save my son. And God did save him. My son met me at church on a Sunday, accepted Jesus as his personal Savior, and was baptized. Thanks to the grace of God, the son is now raising children of his own. Thirdly,
my youngest son, my baby, led me to that prayer closet and being on my knees in fervent prayer for his life. I can remember him as a child, kneeling with me at the bedside and accepting Jesus as his personal Savior. But from his 20s on, he suffered with alcohol addiction, something that he was predisposed to by his family genetics. And when he became into his 40s, he called out for help. I again went on my knees and prayed and prayed and petitioned the Lord with his promise of Proverbs 22:6. I once again called the prayer warriors I knew, and I was praying and assuming the same outcome that had happened to my eldest son. I spent a gifted week of being with him during COVID time and attempted to get him help from the social system. All care was in place. This young man was so physically and emotionally broken, it brought him to the point of using ways in attempting to take his own life. It took me a while to see, but God was in this plan. During the time of hospitals not allowing anyone in, I was able to be by my son's side. I was able to hold his hand and provide motherly comfort. I was able to say the Lord's Prayer with him. I was able to be with him as he took his last breath from earth to heaven. Then I know the Lord himself hemmed me in behind and before, and he laid his hand on me, even as I laid in fetal position in the quiet for a while. The prayer warriors in my life continued to pray. And at this time, I'm walking and talking, praising the Lord. The process is not done and may never be, but I hold on to God's promise of Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen.
Last, but certainly not least, is a testimony from Vince. He is the president of an asphalt paving company. He is the author of the book Mental Health and Suicide, which is his personal story and the stories of those left behind, with a deep dive into the construction industry. He's also a man who can openly and honestly admit his struggles with God. He knows what it's like to be real. Vince is an advocate for mental health and speaks on this subject around the country. A word of caution, his testimony does refer to suicide, so be aware if that topic is a trigger for you. Here's Vince with his aha moment from the Beneva stage.
Good evening. I'm Vince Haefeling. Sometimes this is easy and sometimes this is hard. We'll see how it is tonight. In life, stars align, and in life you have aha moments. The stars aligned about 4 weeks ago when I was able to reunite with Pastor David. I gave him a book that I wrote, and he read the book and asked me to go to lunch. And when we went to lunch, I shared my story with him, and he asked me to come here tonight and speak. The alignment of the stars is that 15 years ago today, Pastor David married my wife, Stacy, and I. I wish she was here tonight, but she's working. And when Pastor David married me, he didn't know some of the darkness that I'd gone through in my life, and in fact, Stacy didn't know all of the darkness that I had gone through. In May of 1989, my brother, that was 9 years my senior, was diagnosed as terminal. And in July, my father passed. And in November, my wife and I had twin sons, Jared and Joshua. Jared would die within a few hours, and Joshua, we would take off of life support after a few days. On July 31 of 1993, my niece's fifth birthday, my brother and daughter, that's the day my brother died while I held him in my arms at a hospital in Columbia, South Carolina. And my mother passed shortly after that as well. While all that was going on, I did what my father told me men were expected to do, to be tough and don't share your emotions, don't share your struggles with people. I became very selfish and self-centered. I questioned, is there a God? And if there was a God, who would want him to be their God? Why would he do so many bad things to someone such as myself? The industry that I work in, a worker dies by suicide every 2 hours. In 2007, on a dark night, I went to take my life. Fast forward a year or 2 years, Stacy and I ended up getting married. A few years later, Pastor David actually baptized me. But even after he baptized me, there were periods of darkness where I would still question, is there a God? Why would he do that to me? At the age of 58, I decided to go back to college and research mental health and suicide. I got my doctorate degree where I researched those topics. I wanted to understand why men in my industry take their lives every 2 hours. And when I was near the completion of that, one of the supervisors in my company came to me and he said, I have a young man that I want you to talk to. He said, the young man's talking about taking his life. And he brought him into my office, and Albert, which was the supervisor, and I talked, and I shared my story with the young man. I told him how I felt and my beliefs, or lack of beliefs, if you will. All three of us cried at times, and we all laughed at times. And when I told the story of the deaths in my life, and when I told the journey of going through to where I questioned, is there a God? Is there an afterlife? Is there a savior? That's when I got my aha moment. Albert looked at me and he said, do you not understand? And I said, understand what? He said, do you not understand why he took your brother and your father and your mother and your twin sons? Do you not understand why he took you down that dark road in Nokomis, Florida in 2007 when you were going to end your life? And I said, no, Albert, I don't understand. Enlighten me. He said he did all of that so that you would be sitting here today with this young man to be able to save his life. He was preparing you for what you just did for this young man. That was my aha moment in life.
The goal in sharing these testimonies is to make the point that a life of faith in Jesus isn't perfect. A life of faith in Jesus isn't without its questions, its doubts, and its fears. A life of faith in Jesus is just that, a life. Yet, through it all, there's peace, there's hope, and there's something to lean on. For all of us need something on which to lean. My prayer is that Michael, Sylvia, and Vince have been able to connect with you and your story in some way, shape, or form. My prayer is that they've given you something to think about, and maybe something to believe in, even if that belief is simply in the fact that you know that they believe in Jesus. For that knowing just might be enough to tip the scales in your life. Here's to stories of faith in the face of life, in the face of illness, death, relationships, and triumphs. Here's to a faith that encourages us to see the glasses half full, a faith that overcomes the good times, the bad times, and the boring times. Here's to you and your journey to be. When we get together again, we'll be taking a deeper dive into understanding your want to. So, my prayer is that you want to tune in next time.
Hey there, it's Jack. Island Hoping is a production of Journey to Be Ministries and is sponsored by Beneva Christian Church. You can find Beneva Christian Church on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, as well as their website, benevachristian.com. If you would like to contact David, you drop him an email at islandhopingpodcast@gmail.com.